we sing this wonderful song together, "The Price is Paid. Come, let us enter into all that Jesus died to make our own. For every sin, more than enough he gave, and bought our freedom from each guilty stain. The price is paid. Alleluia, amazing grace, so strong and sure, and so with all my heart, my life in every part, I live to thank you for the price you paid." That's the price that was paid for our sins, Jesus. Jesus' life. We remembered that in the Lord's Supper this morning. God paid the ultimate price for Israel, for us, for the church, by offering his son's life as a sacrifice, as a substitute for our lives, our sins. And then lastly, judgment and salvation. That's what we see here in this big picture. And just briefly, throughout the whole of this book of Hosea, we hear God talking about judgment, the judgment that will come upon these people. The judgment which will come upon rebellious Israel. The judgment of those who have broken the covenant between him and his people. But you know, always when we see him talking about judgment, we hear him talking about salvation being offered. Always. God's salvation for his people, the promise of salvation, the hope of salvation, always these two go hand in hand. And that's, of course, a picture of God's grace to us. What he offers to us. Those are the three points throughout this book of Hosea. God's love for his people. We see grace revealed. And we see Christ revealed through the book of Hosea. But then secondly, the big God. You know, we sing, don't we, that little children's song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do." Do we believe that? Do we? Do we really believe that? We do need to do. Just look at these wonderful couple of verses with me in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. These are wonderful verses. You know, sometimes you find pure nuggets, don't you, in Scripture, and you hang on to them. And these are two verses that I think are pure nuggets. It's a very wedding-y theme, actually, these. It says, "I betroth to you me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord." Betrothal is a promise, which is where you enter into an agreement. It's an offer of union, binding you together. As you know, yesterday I was speaking at Jed and Sarah's wedding, and it did go amazingly well. The practice was a total disaster. Jed turned up 40 minutes late. That was beyond the first hymn. But the actual wedding day went very, very well. It was lovely. Good day. But in that wedding ceremony, promises were made to one another. Husband and wife, they were promising things to each other. They entered into agreements with each other to support and love and encourage and so forth. And it was a lovely time. They did that before the Lord, asking for his help. And they're going to need his help. Those promises unite them. They bind them together. And we pray, all of us, that we pray that they have a very happy and a blessed married life together. But here, God betroths to us promises, wonderful promises. He unites his promises to us here. And all these things actually describe the true nature and the personality of God. Have you ever heard people described a loved one who sadly passed away? I remember just a few weeks ago when Mel Smith died. Do you remember the comedian Mel Smith? His good friend, Griff Rhys-Jones, said, "He was a force for life. He was a gentleman and a scholar, a gambler and a wit." Now, that was just to try and build a picture of the person. We all have our heroes, and we can think of the personality and the character of heroes that we have. We can describe them. Ian Botham used to be, you know, 100% passionate, a winner, all those kind of things. But then you hear eulogies of people who have passed away, like that of Mel Smith. And I remembered back to when Steve Irwin died. Do you remember Steve Irwin? What a lovely man he was. I loved him to bits. The way that he brought God's creation to us in a very new way. Whether he knew he was doing it or not, I don't know. But it was wonderful. And this is what his little daughter said about her daddy. "My daddy was my hero. He was always there for me when I needed him. He listened to me and taught me so many things, but most of all, he was fun. I know that Daddy had an important job. He was working to change the world so everyone would love wildlife like he did. But he built a hospital to make animals, and he bought lots of land and gave to give animals a safe place to live. He took me and my brother and my mum with him all the time. We filmed together, caught crocodiles together, and loved being in the bush together. Great fun. Scary. I don't want Daddy's passion to ever end. I want to help endangered animals just like he did. I have the best daddy in the world, and I'll miss him every day. When I see a crocodile, I will always think of him, and I know that Daddy made this zoo so everyone could come and learn to love all the animals. Daddy made this place his whole life, and now it's our turn to help Daddy. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful, a little child saying that about her dad. But what a picture she's built up of her father. What a picture. A hero. A fun man. A listener. A hard worker. Someone who's always there for her. It's beautiful. But you know, good as they are, those qualities, those traits, are nothing compared to the traits of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father who describes himself here. Our big God's list of qualities are absolutely amazing. And these are the qualities, these are the personality traits which will be lived out for us to enrich our relationship with him. Look at them with me. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice and love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. Righteousness is one of the most common attributes of God, one of the most common attributes that's talked about through Scripture. God is right and consistent. He will not deviate from any of his promises because he's righteous. He will never abuse the relationship that we have with him, just as he didn't leave his son to stay in that grave, but raised him to life again. He will always be true to us because there is nothing bad in him whatsoever. And because of his righteousness, no one will be able to bring any fault or find any fault between the union he has with us. Secondly, he'll betroth to us or promise to us in justice. God is just. Some versions say judgment, betrothed in judgment. The fact that God is just means that the promise of the union between us both will be legally bound. It's an alliance which is legally bound. And that justice is bound up in us, having faith in Jesus, his son. God is a just God, and he will deliver on his promises to all those who keep his covenant, those who have faith in Christ Jesus, those who have given their all for the sake of Jesus. And of course, the flip side of God's justice is this, that God will be just and will ultimately judge all those who reject him, those who choose to live for themselves, those who choose to ignore him. He promises us that he will be just. He'll be a God of justice. Then thirdly, he betrothed to us in love. Some versions use this beautiful description, loving kindness. It's because it's an action, it's an active love. God's love sanctions, it authorizes that this relationship between him and us will be one built upon love. And God's love will cause the relationship to be a happy one, not an unhappy one. You know, if Jed and Sarah love each other as they should, their marriage will be a happy one. If one becomes selfish and unkind and looking out for themselves more than the other, it's going to become an unhappy marriage if it's not built upon love. God's promise of love sanctions, authorizes that the union we have is a love union. Without love, it's bondage. It's a pain. It's not joyful. So God promises us loving kindness, his love. This love will cause us to be in a very happy relationship. The amazing thing is this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5, that God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Despite all our sins, Christ still died for us. Unbelievable love of God. Despite all, he never lets us down. And then fourthly, compassion. Compassion is promised to us, betrothed to us. And again, other versions use the word mercies. If you want to know about compassion, the mercy of God, you look to one place, you look to Christ Jesus. Just look to him. See how he had compassion for the sinner. See how he had compassion for those who even mocked him and rejected him. See how he mourned over the people and wept over the people that he saw. God's compassion and mercy is promised to us, and it's an intrinsic part of this relationship. His mercy smiles upon us. His mercy keeps us going and going. Do you remember the Duracell adverts? Yeah? They promised to go when all of the batteries stopped, when all of the batteries gave up, and you had those little teddy bears clanging away, all wobbling. And there's a keep walking and keep walking until they fell off the table and the others would fail and drop off. Duracell's slogan was, the power to do more. Do you remember? Well, God's compassion has the power to go on and on and on and on. When all of the compassion stops, God just keeps going and going. It never stops. That's a promise from God. A promise to bind this union. And then finally, faithfulness. Faithfulness is like the registrar at a wedding. Faithfulness witnesses the betrothal. God's faithfulness witnesses this. It watches over from the side, approving all the other promises. At all weddings, you need a registrar. If you haven't got a registered person for that building, and the registrar has to witness the signing of the marriage certificates to certify and hear the pledges. Well, God's faithfulness is like that registrar. His faithfulness always watches over the union between him and us, because he's faithful. His faithful guarantees to us his righteousness, guarantees to us his justice, guarantees to us his love, and guarantees to us his compassion. His word is binding and true. The promise, this betrothal between God and us, is rock solid. It's a certain thing, not like much of the promises that you hear from people nowadays. And the most wonderful thing is this: we can't be separated from any of these promises. If you go back to verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. Isn't that wonderful? Forever. Never to be separated from his promises. Experiencing these wonderful, beautiful qualities forever. Doesn't that give you a peace in your heart to know that he will never withdraw any of these promises from you because of his faithfulness? Because of his faithfulness. That's the big, big love of God. The big love from our big God. But then finally, the big change. What about the big change that comes from the big love of our big God? Well, Hosea believed passionately that God can bring about change for the Israelites. He believed it. God had delivered him and caused him to experience a big change in his own heart. And all of you who know Jesus as Lord and Savior know that a change has taken place in your life. The verse says, I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. And here's the change. And you will acknowledge the Lord. You will acknowledge the Lord. You will witness to what God has done for you. You shall tell people about the qualities of God. And those qualities will be revealed in you too. Most of all, you will tell them about the qualities of God revealed through his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will know in your heart that all of these things are true because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And we should thank God for that. The big change has come because you have acknowledged the Lord, and in particular because you have acknowledged your need for a Savior. You know, when relationships go through bad times, can be in marriages, it could just be friendships. The problems that you have with the other person, they have to be recognized. If they aren't, then you can't move forward. If somebody has an addiction, they can never move forward unless they face up to the fact that they are an addict, that they have a problem. And it's not always easy, is it, to acknowledge that we aren't what we think we are. It's not always easy to recognize that we're not where we want to be. But you know, we must acknowledge our condition before the Lord. We must be honest, all of us, before God. We must open our hearts to him. We must pour out our hearts to him if we want to change. Jesus, our Savior, said these words. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So blessed are all of you people who come to God. You come as broken people. You kneel before him as broken people, broken in your sin, shamed at what you are, and you come and you acknowledge your need for a Savior. And you come and you acknowledge that Jesus is your Saviour. You come as a poor, broken person. And then the change comes. And the change does come. If you don't know that change today in your own lives, I plead with you to come to the foot of the cross, to open your hearts to Him this morning. Pour out your life to Him. Pour out your worries to Him, your burdens. You have questions? Pour out your questions to Him too. Let the Saviour on that cross take all of it for you. Let Him take all of that upon Himself. Let Him give you the peace and the joy that only He can give. Acknowledge Him, and you shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, you may have strayed, as I have at times in my life, a long way from where I should have been, or where you should have been. You may have said things that you're ashamed of this morning. You may have thought things that you wish you had never thought, or seen things that you wish you'd never seen. No sin is too great. No gulf is too big that our Father's big love can't handle. The story of the prodigal son shows us that our Heavenly Father is waiting and willing to receive us back. Isn't that wonderful? He's waiting with open arms to welcome us back. What a wonderful God we have. And just like Hosea telling Israel to come back, your God loves you, we have Jesus telling us every day, return to me. Return to me. Receive from me. My big love, or the big love of my Father is all sufficient. It's all that you need. And He will promise to do these things for you. I say to you this morning, come and acknowledge the Lord. Let the wonderful qualities of God live in and through you. Shall we thank God for His big love? Let's just pray.